You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Good morning to you and welcome to Freedom.
It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Come a little closer to you. There we go. There we are. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What made you decide to start writing? You gave me a little, a brief look into the other things you do as well. But let's start from the writing perspective. Why become an author?
All right. So I always tell everybody, you know, the first book I would say was given to me. It came quite by accident, you know. I usually sing. I sing. And I have this book by my bed with my, you know, my $2 pen at the time, you know. And I would get up in at the crazy hours of the morning to write a song that would come to me. And there was this morning, you know, I got this urging to get up, but it was so early. And I said, not today. It came back again. And with that thought, it literally said to me, if you miss this, you're not going to get it back. And I got up and I went and I started to write. But while writing, I realized, wait, this is not a song, because I kept turning page and turning page and turning page. And the ideas just kept flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing. However, I didn't know what the ideas were. You know, and I remember closing the book. It felt like hours. You know, it felt like a lot of hours. And then my son got up and he said, "Mommy, what happened to you?" Because he could sense when things wrong with me. And I said, "I think I'm going mad. I was just writing in this book and I don't know what I wrote." He said, "Well, if you're going mad, we'll catch it today, you know, and read what you wrote." And when I started to read, those were the words that galvanized me to seeing the book to fruition.
And tell us a little bit about the book. First, the title of the book is From Chains to Change.
Yes.
You know, what was the thought process behind the title? And was it an experience where you found yourself releasing yourself from chains to change?
Well, it's about a renewed consciousness, right? In the writings, you know, I would have seen about, you know, being our brother's keeper and not exercising our God complex, teaching a man to fish. You know, these phrases would have come to me in the thoughts when I was writing. And the book itself is about us charting a new course. We know what the problem is, you know, as a people. We know what the problem is. We know all the things we don't do. But you don't really hear people giving a solution as to, okay, we know the problems, how do we solve them? You know, it may not have all of the answers, but it will take you on that journey to finding self.
So the understanding that the first acknowledging that there is a problem is the very beginning of understanding the environment and what you need to do to, as you say, make that change.
Yes.
How do you get persons to, or do you discuss that in the book? What is the process like of actually saying, admitting that there is a problem and then working forward from there?
So the book dives into a bit of history because, you know, you can't just tell people that, you know, okay, these problems that we have, you know, it's not modern day problems. It would have been problems that stemmed from history. And what I mean by that is, a lot of the times, you see, we have this phrase where, you know, boys just cling to the mothers and girls just cling to the fathers. You know, and you ever sit back and think about why do boys cling to their mothers or mothers cling to their sons? Because back in the days of old, right, during slavery, your boy child could have leave home and never come back. He could have been an example in the field. You know, the girls, yes, things happened to them as well, but they always returned. They returned damaged,
or they didn't even leave the space at all.
This is it.
Yeah, because most of the time the girls were either working in the house with the other females. You know, they weren't really allowed to leave.
Well, there were house slaves and then there were the field slaves. And yes, there were females that worked in the field, but your daughters would come home. Your son might be the punishment for somebody else having done something on the field, and he may have been whipped to death, he may have been buggered, he may have been, you understand, he may have been shot.
Mm-hmm.
So he may have left and then never returned. And people teach what they know, right? Mm-hmm. And coming down generation after generation, the lessons, you know, it may have changed a bit, but it remained the same. And therein lies where moms would hold on to their sons. But it was from a teaching way back when.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
understand? And a lot of the teachings that we have now would have stemmed from the days of slavery. And we're not cognizant of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not something you would readily think about or research.
And the thing is, from the movement... You did hear about the move by the United Nations to declare that slavery, chattel slavery, yes. was a grievous crime against humanity.
Yes.
And that has opened the discussion even further for those countries that have been subjected to, suffered from, and still suffering from
yes.
the experience of slavery. And then the word reparations come into the conversation, revisiting colonial stories and how it applies to now. There is a hesitancy to really step into that world once again, to understand it. How, as a writer, do you see the role of actually experiencing that history once again to move us forward, to breaking those chains? Tell me how we... objectively visit that history.
If you don't know what the problem is, how do you know how to solve it?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's a bittersweet kind of experience. Nobody wants to go back to the hurt. Nobody mm-hmm. wants to go back to the pain. So we've opted to forget about it. That is the past. You didn't experience it. Your ancestors did.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But they would have paved the way for you to reach where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
And in understanding what it is they went through for you to be where you are now, the pains that they would have suffered, you have the opportunity now to break the cycle of abuse, because 9 out of 10, guess mm-hmm. what? You were also raised in an abused environment due to the teachings you would have received.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a cycle that just kept going on and on and on. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say a woman would have had an experience with a man that was less than desirable. Right? She moves forward by telling her children, man ain't good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, her daughters would continue that cycle and tell their children, man ain't good. Because they would have learned it from their mother, not knowing what she... experienced,
mm-hmm.
but you would have an entire generation thinking that man ain't good because of
her grandmother's experience. Yeah,
you understand.
Mm-hmm.
So that is also abuse.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side, too, there are many women that will tell their sons, or fathers that will tell their sons, "You see, woman,
mm-hmm.
woman ain't good," and for some reason, red woman.
Yeah.
You know, but on a whole, it has been woman not good, or they're tricky, or they... So that cycle as well, that type of thinking is ingrained in men. So how do we find that space to have the conversations and to explore how deep that mechanism is? Because they say it's even into the DNA as well. How do we explore that?
Well, I think that... Again, understanding your past.
Mm-hmm.
And more should be thought about it in schools. Not the surface level. There was slavery and it was bad. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, get into it, because you don't really appreciate something unless you could feel it. Unless you could understand it.
Oh, feelings. Now you're bringing up the very scary word, feelings.
Yeah.
It is as you say, it's a tricky space to be in, because there would be persons who are of the school of thought that, like you said earlier, this happened so many hundreds of years ago. Mm-hmm. Why do we keep recycling the feeling? Why do we keep going back, revisiting it? I think part of it is that we have not really explored the feeling part of it. Mm-hmm. To really get it out of the system, because the body remembers. I've heard this so many times, having this type of discourse, mm-hmm. where the body remembers everything. You carry it in your sense and your psyche, and it does come out in even the things that we do, either consciously or unconsciously, because of the things that you had to protect against. So, you know, in terms of I'm thinking of one where there was a tradition with cane rose. You used to put seeds and things in.
Or notes
in your hair, mm-hmm. to hide and to guard that part of the traditions of that family.
Yeah.
Just understanding the importance of hairstyles is something that we don't seem to get into. And I'm thinking too, there was a story of a child who was not welcomed into school because of hairstyles.
Of hairstyle, yes.
And that is something that keeps on happening every single year. So it is a point to identify what the cycles are. Going back to the original thing, addressing what the problem is.
That's right.
Do we need more conversations like these? Do we find forums and areas to develop these ideas or addressing these problems to get to the solutions? What do you suggest?
I think that we need more forums. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to highlight it a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that it's not being highlighted. I mean, now that we are in this technological age, you see a lot of things being posted on social media, you know. But you know, sitting with each other and, you know, having that conversation. People having that conversation with their children, you know,
mm-hmm.
letting them know exactly how far we have come,
mm-hmm.
you know. And this is something that we've become so desensitized to pain on the whole, right? Human pain, because you might see somebody crying over an animal than crying over a human, mm-hmm. you know. And we've become so desensitized to human pain that going back in time to find out the hurts and the pains, and it's like, oh my God, why?
Mm-hmm. You're stuck in the past. Why are you there in the past? It's so much about not realizing that the current habits
are because of the past.
Not only because of the past, it continues.
Yeah.
We're still in the cycle of it.
That's right.
What are some of the things that you've addressed in your book that you've definitely seen we need to change?
We need to change habits, right? Mm-hmm. We need to change the way we see self. We need to change the way we see others. You know,
mm-hmm.
We need to not exercise our God complex. For example, you know, you find that, okay, if you have an opportunity, you would quicker, let's use fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would give the man the fish every day. Come now, come 2 o'clock and I will give you a fish,
mm-hmm.
right? But, you know, you will clean out that room there for me and you would this and you would that and I'll give you a fish. You'll feed your family. I'm so good. Me,
mm-hmm.
me. You're eating because of me, right? Why not train him how to fish so that he can then in turn go and fish when he needs to feed his family and then create a business that he could sustain himself and his family?
You talking about independence. Why would independence help the person
who's giving
the fish? But do we need to learn how to identify what the intention is behind the gift of the fish?
So then the word give alone comes with a tone.
Mm-hmm.
It has backing behind it, right? I'm not employing you. Notice the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trading with you. I am saying I'm giving you a fish.
Mm-hmm.
And the word gift means render, without looking back for anything in return.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is, we are saying, I am giving you something, I'm giving you knowledge, it's not, I am giving you an opportunity for you to do something for me in return.
Mm-hmm. That's up to you.
It's up to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even biblically, you would see where they say, they talk about the law of reciprocity. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Never once did it say, by the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of never once did it say by the same person. And a lot of the times we misjudge and we think that because I give her, you know, she never. You understand? Mm-hmm. Just give. Whatever you need comes to you.
Mm-hmm. If you're now joining us inside Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM, we have Ms. Gittins here, who is here talking to us about her book, and it is From Chains to Change. That is one of her books. We're going to talk about the other ones that she's done as well. Mm-hmm. And she did tell me she liked reggae music. So, you know, we're going to talk a little more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Credit card, loan on top of loan. This feeling heavy.
When debts are to weigh you down, it's time for a fresh start with fresh cash from NCB Merchant Bank. Their unsecured loan can consolidate your debts into one simple payment. No collateral needed.
One payment, one date, less stress?
Exactly. With lowered requirements, you can borrow up to $150,000 to clear your debts. Apply online and get the funds straight to your bank account. No branch visit needed. Fast and efficient. Apply today at ncbloanaccess.com.
Join us at the Trinidad and Tobago Disaster Risk Management Conference and Expo from June 1st to 3rd at the Hyatt Regency and hear firsthand from the most impacted in Jamaica, Barbados, and Grenada. Connect with local, regional, and international agencies driving integrated disaster risk governance. Step into three full conference days of presentations, panels, and learning labs that mirror real disaster risk scenarios. This event is a must attend for all industries and sectors. Register now at www.ttdrm.com/register now, because the only thing worse than a disaster is being unprepared for one.
Welcome back, TNT. So we've got Ms. Gittins in studio with us as we continue to talk about her book, From Chains to Change, and just getting into from the perspective of understanding slavery and why this was such a momentous occasion by the United Nations to declare it a grave crime against humanity. You know, just that part alone seems to bring up a whole lot of emotions and, you know, and a feeling of uncomfortable, you know.
Yeah, discomfort.
Discomfort, mm-hmm. You know, that makes you want to not have the conversation. But from, you know, looking at how we are developing in the world right now, in this time and space, you mentioned something about, you know, understanding what gifts are, the process of giving and reciprocity and all of that. And I think at this point in time in human identity and all of that, understanding how we relate to one another, how we interact with one another, understanding each other's histories will do us well when it comes to the very difficult decisions that we have to take from, like, for example, in the idea of people would be leaving places of conflict to come to another. How do we regulate? How do we, you know, approach it from a human side?
Yes.
Understanding that history plays a very big part in tolerance. Do you think that we have the openness to even begin that conversation to prepare for what may or may not happen?
Right now, I don't think so. Right? I don't think so. I think right now we're at a point where this is a festering sore, and a lot of people just want to put a plaster over it.
Pretend like it's not happening.
Yeah, pretend that it's not happening. But remember, it's festering. It's not getting better, you know? And one day, when the plaster comes off, everything else will as well, you know? So that's why I say a lot more should be done, you know, in educating people about what transpired, you know? It's when it is we talk about understanding self, sometimes people may treat you a particular way, and you're wondering, so why do they behave in that manner? Why are they treating me like that? And not understanding that understanding their history is what would dictate their future and why they would treat you in a particular manner. You would see people behaving particular ways on the job, you know, respecting only people with expressing colorism. Let me use those words. You know, they tend to gravitate to a particular creed of people, and you're wondering, well, why? You know, all of this stems back to, again, the training, and that would have come straight back from ancestors. You understand? And if it is, we could identify some of these behaviors in people, we would be more tolerant of their behaviors because we understand from whence it came. Right?
Now, just in what you were saying there, I thought of the story of two boys, and this is a general thing that in another conversation where you would have like the alcoholic father or the absent mother, and you have these two boys, and one boy would continue on to be a criminal, and then the other boy would continue to be a leader in the community, a lawyer or a doctor or somebody who strives. How is it that those two very opposite seeds of potential can happen? And what gives the difference? You know, how can one be in that direction and the next one in another direction but still have the same environment? What are some of the things that would
that's, you know, psychology.
Yeah.
That there is psychology. And
because, you know, people are going to turn to that case and say, well, it's choice.
It's psychology.
You know, it's really up to choice.
It's nature versus nurture. Right? And again, yes, everything that we do is choices. You understand? Everything that we do is choices. Now, when you have to factor in the ages of the boys at the time that they would have made the decision, let's go back now, right? We're going back. What teachings did they get up until that age? What allowed the mother to be absent? What teachings she got? What teachings the father got? Let's go back to their parents. You understand? So by the time these boys reach that age now, psychology, right? One would choose, and I'm not going to be anything like my parents. And then he decided to make the choice not to do what they did. It doesn't mean that the teachings that they gave him didn't filter in, you know. We have attorneys and doctors and lawyers and people in good standing in community that are struggling mentally. And it would be based on the teachings that they would have got growing up as a child. And then you meet somebody else now with a different lesson. And then, you know, you have conflicting thoughts. And then you start to wonder what. And then other people would say, he's trying to be something that he's not.
Could be the environments as well, because you could hear of doctors and lawyers being wanting to be able to do good and can't because either the system not providing the mm-hmm. tools that they need or the environment have them making choices that they may not or may not want to be making. Teachers talk about lack of resources for children and they're seeing that they're hearing and hearing of children being abused, but hands tied, they can't touch, they can't, you know, get too involved. You know, I mean, we've heard so many different stories of people actually wanting to do something and changing the system, but just can't. You know, how do we live with that? I guess that's the end question as well. Those are the chains. Yeah, that you deal with.
Yeah.
You know, how do you maneuver to create that change? And then you talk about revolutionary thinking. How does revolutionary thinking come into, you know, the space to create that change? Is it necessary?
You start with you, you know. Everything starts with you. And you have to be the change that you want to see. Nobody say it's going to be easier.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. But you have to be the change that you want to see. And let me tell you how it works. I remember my children. Now, every time I'm walking out, I would say, good morning, good morning. You mm-hmm. could call me good morning, miss, right? I telling everybody good morning on the street. And my children grew up telling everybody good morning now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there was
they see the example, right. So they follow the example.
Now their friends would laugh at them and say, so you is a good morning man, everybody we pass you are to say morning. And because now they're walking with my children and my sons say good morning, now they feel stupid about not saying good morning, so they say good morning.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the absence of my sons, these boys now have started saying good morning.
Mm-hmm. Because they develop the habit.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you being the change that you want to see, there is a ripple effect. Now, nobody says it's going to be a quick fix. But if enough people are being the change,
mm-hmm.
then their children will be the change. You're sure that their grandchildren will be the change. And, you know, you changing things for your generations to come.
Mm-hmm.
By inadvertently, you're going to change other people's children as well, because they would want to follow good examples.
Hmm. Yet there are systems designed. We have to admit that.
We're not living in a fairy tale, and that's why I made sure and I said it's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mm-hmm. you could imagine you're a police officer.
Hmm.
You have good moral backgrounds, right? Your mother treats you well, she teach you well. And you're going there and there is a culture of corruption, let's just say. And you know that if you do the right thing, you're going to be victimized.
Mm-hmm.
Are you then going to do the right thing and be victimized? Or are you going to adapt to the culture? And that's where it ain't gonna be easy come in.
Mm-hmm. It's all professions as well, huh?
Yeah.
Because you could see that or have the example of that in all. And the thing is, status quo. I know that some of the listeners as well have talked about this in relation to the latest scenario that we had to work with in the Caribbean with Venezuela and the mighty USA and all of that.
Yeah.
And it gives us that feeling of restriction. You know, you want to be able to stand on your own, Caribbean mm-hmm. islands, yet you are fully aware of what America can do. And that is an example of Cuba and the embargoes mm-hmm. and how they moved with Venezuela. Do we think it's right or wrong? And even in how you describe how you feel about it, can either label you as you're this or you're a that. How do you find the confidence to stand in what you believe in?
Understanding that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it is you feel like, hey, for gosh, if I stand up for the right thing, you know, they would label me a this. But you're never alone.
Mm-hmm.
Just how you thinking, it's going to have a multitude of people thinking, but they're waiting for one person to do the right thing, you know.
Interesting.
You're going to see some people picketing in front of the president's house, let's just say. And it might start off as one man, you know. And before the end of the day, the whole area filled with people.
Mm-hmm. But we can't do it under here, so yeah.
No.
Let me just put that there because you know how easy it is, right? Mm-hmm. We are under the state of emergency, Trinidad and Tobago. We're not recommending that you do that unless you have written
permission
from the police to do that. But yeah.
Yeah, but it's understanding that you're never alone.
Mm-hmm.
The way you're thinking and what you want, you're never alone with your ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
And revolutionary ideas brought us things like civil rights, women's rights, rights of the children, all of these things that didn't exist before, but had to go through that tumultuous cycle to arrive at things that benefit us now. But, I shouldn't say but, however, for us to maintain these things, I think that type of diligence and approach to what is right is still necessary. It's an ongoing thing.
It's
not something that you pick up and then just drop just like that.
No.
You've been tasked with the responsibility, as they say, to continue educating and to keep the flame, as they say.
And we still have a long way to go,
We do.
Make our ancestors proud, the ones who would have gone before us and paved the way for us.
Mm-hmm.
We are now responsible for paving the way for the others.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, the big, the firstborn.
Ooh.
Always responsible.
Firstborn. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so, you have that responsibility to be the right example for the rest,
mm-hmm.
or to pave the way for the rest, open doors for the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is we reach here now and we think, okay, right, we're shutting that door behind us, then what?
Mm-hmm. But we also have to be careful what we let into the door too,
If they had thought that, then where would we be?
No, what I mean is to maintain, I didn't mean to exclude people.
Okay.
What I meant is distraction, or the wrong messaging, or taking advantage. Those are the things that I was thinking of.
Yes.
Because it's very, very easy. And we've seen this with a few leaders who we thought, would have been great examples.
Mm-hmm.
And then they let us down. And it's very disappointing.
Yeah.
So it is really about intention. And where a check in ever so often, I guess. Yes, we're still on the same page.
Yeah.
We this is the goal. What do you want from this experience, or what do you really want to change? Is it the same thing? All of those questions I think we should still ask along the way. And so let's go to another part of this. Now you said that you're a singer.
Yes.
What type of music are you into? And are the messages the same from your books? In your music as well?
Well, I sing reggae,
mm-hmm.
right? I have one song out on all platforms, and I'm releasing two more at my birth night celebration, which is on the 26th of April, right?
That will make you a
Taurus.
Aries.
Oh, be right there.
Yeah. Saturday was mine, so.
Oh, happy belated.
Thank you.
Now, the birthday is actually the 22nd, but mm-hmm. I'm keeping the
event
right. Yeah. So I'll be releasing new music on that day.
Mm-hmm.
As the genre, as I said before, it's reggae. But it's not, it's happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's hold on and dance. It's
Lovers Rock.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the book message ain't actually, replicated in the songs.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
So who are your favorite reggae artists?
You know, if I say that, I could get in plenty trouble.
Why is that?
Because I interview all reggae artists in Trinidad, Jamaica, upcoming artists, South Africa, England, and I just kind of tell all of them, y'all are my favorite, you know. So if I go to say right. one name now, you know.
All right, so let's be generous. And who are your top five or top four?
My top four interviews. Definitely Benji Myers, right? He's my number one. And then I would say Jafia TBI. He's a local upcoming artist. His messages are very strong, you know. He's part of the Bobo Shanti faith, and his songs always replicate his walk, you know. So he sings a lot about putting down the guns and, you know, peace in the place and that kind of thing. I also love Gingerbread. That's another local. His name captured me. And then his voice did. So he has quite a unique style, you know. I tend to go for more local artists than I would for foreign. But if we're going foreign, you know, Kitty Corbin, you know, she's from England.
That's a new name for me.
When you hear her voice, you are going to fall in love. Yeah. And then number five would be one of my recent interviews, Quincy Lee. Right? Mesmerizing voices. And it was so strange to me that we have so much talent in Trinidad and Tobago that has not been discovered and not playing all over the place. But the voice, you know, is like, wow. You know?
How has interviewing these artists and the change in how reggae is, don't want to bring up no label or anything like that, but you know, there has been a huge change. Do you think the message is the same? Do you think it's straying from what the purpose is? How you feel about how the music is sounding these days?
Reggae for me has kept its kept its flavor. You know, the messages in the music has always been strong, and it continues to be strong. However, some of the artists don't know whether they're singing reggae or dancehall.
Tell me about it.
Right? And because they don't know their behaviors, you know, the way they were dressed, their style, their image, everything is in question when they're not too sure about what it is, what genre of music it is that they're singing. You know? I don't think that they can fuse together, because one has a very strong moral backing, and the other one is pretty much anything goes.
Yeah. Well, it's almost fundamentals and then secular. I think that's the best way we could describe it for reggae music.
Yeah.
And it has always had that distinction. And then there's the Naya Bingi roots.
Yeah.
You know, there's a term for it. It will come to me just now. When you go into like a colors dance.
Yeah.
You have the foundation music. Foundation music. And then you have the reggae music.
That's like the Peter Tosh and...
Well, oh, even before Peter Tosh, like
Burning Space.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Them.
Yeah. And then you have the Lovers Rock, and then you know what it is they have these days, but that music.
Yeah.
You know? So future projects. What would be one your favorite collaboration, a collaboration that you'd really like to do, and would you step into other genres, not only music but your writing? Do you see yourself doing a little more?
Well, I have 5 books written right now, right? And my favorite, as you had asked me before, is the weirdest one, which is a children's book, right? How that came about, I have no idea. I was watching my dogs a day, and I have a lot of pets.
Mm.
So I was looking at the dogs, and I was like, but they're having like a whole conversation, right? So one going and telling the other one something, and then he coming back to one on the other side of the yard, and he bringing back message, and he carrying back message. Mind you, now the two of them who were tied hate each other. But they've never met. So I didn't understand until a day I sit down and I was looking at them and I realized the go-between, you know? And I ended up writing this book, not along the same lines, but it's about these privileged dogs that ended up, you know, getting put out.
Mm.
And the fluffy one, she ended up in the dump and she was adopted by the dump gang, and you know it just went all over the place. But where it went, my children were, you know, crazy over this story. And when I ended it, the way I ended it, first I saw my son cry and he was like, "Mommy, I'm not talking to you again. You can't do that." So I had to change the ending. You know, so that one is my favorite because I had so much fun writing it. And then I had fun with my children because I would read it to them and they would give me feedback
on
and,
it.
You know, I would
right.
go back and, you know, take it from their perspective. And that was the most, you know, exciting book for me to write.
Mm-hmm.
I also have one from a Tobago perspective. That one, the name of it is 0 to 50, real quick. But this is like, I'm writing about a gentleman I met, his life story, you know, and it's rather interesting.
Yeah.
And he was a womanizer at some point. His mother was 16 when she had him for a married man. So, you know, you had to write from that perspective coming all
down.
The way. Yeah. It opened my eyes to certain things and certain cultures, you know, things that right in Tobago, things that they would have experienced that we in Trinidad would be like, you know, so it was an eye opener for me to write that one.
Yeah. And even as I brought it up, Tobago's way of doing things and Trinidad way of doing things is a cultural
different.
But Tobago, oh, beautiful Tobago.
Yeah, that's my go-to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you so much for coming in. We've got a couple more minutes again. Can you tell me where your books are available and when next we'll be able to talk to you about the newest one that you have coming out?
All right, so they're available at Nigel Arcan, RIK Bookstores, Metropolitan Book Suppliers Limited, Nelson's Bookstores in Tobago, Sure Things in Tobago as well.
All right, so once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in getting the book From Chains to Change...
Oh, and it's on Amazon.
And it's on Amazon as well, so you can get in contact with Miss Gittins Cabby, who is the author. You have Instagram or Facebook or anything like that?
On Facebook, you could just look up the name of the book, which is From Chains to Change, A Renewed Consciousness. And of course, it takes you straight to me.
All right. And also, music. Just might hear some songs on the channel as well.
Yes.
All right, TNT.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.